and how they fit into the key elements that make a man, who he is, what he does, and how much he makes. These three things, as I've already told you, are extremely important to any mature grown man, and you have every right to know what he's doing right now and what he's planning over the next 3 to 5 years to be the real grown man he wants to be. His answer also will help you determine whether you want to be a part of that plan or not. You'll know to throw up your much-needed red flag if he doesn't have a plan at all. If he's got a plan, well, great. Act like you're super interested and ask follow-up questions. Be the inquisitive, enthusiastic detective that you are. Men love to talk about themselves. We do this because we know that in order to catch you, we have to impress you. So allow us to impress. The more inquisitive and interested you are, the more information he'll give you. Say things like, "Wow, how did you get into that field?" Or, "How interesting. What does it take to make that successful?" And listen carefully. The whole time he's talking, you should be evaluating whether he's actually working hard to meet his goals or if he's a lazy dreamer just talking a whole lot of nonsense. You should also be figuring out if you see yourself in that short-term plan. If you know what his plan is, you can immediately assess if you want to be part of it and what role you can play in it, or if you need to remove yourself from that equation. For instance, if he says, "I'm a technician for the cable company, but I'm going to college at night to earn my BA in engineering so that I can move up the ranks at my job," then you know this guy has a plan and he's executing it. Maybe you can even see yourself helping him study or being there for him at graduation and giving him suggestions for how to transform himself from the blue-collar worker who installs the cable to the engineer who helps build the technology for the cable company. The point is, he has a plan and he's working towards it, which means that he's trying to be the man he wants to be, the kind that just might fit in line with what you're looking for in a good, solid mate. But if you ask him what his short-term goals are, and he tells you something crazy like, "I'm in street pharmaceuticals, and right now I have one block, but my goal in the next few years is to have 10 blocks on the west side from Henry Street to Brown Street," well then, you know right then and there that you can go on ahead and keep it moving. The same applies to the man who states his short-term goals, but clearly has no plan to implement them. For instance, if he says his dream is to be a producer, but he's not doing anything in the field to actually become one, he's not interning or working for a film company, he's not writing or reading any scripts, he's not making any connections in the industry that might open some doors for him, he hasn't worked for 4 months and has no prospects for a job in the field he says he's interested in, then you know this man doesn't have a plan. And if he doesn't have a plan, he's not going to achieve his short-term goal. Or it's really not a goal. He's just talking out of his behind. Either way, you may not want to sign up for his plan. Just stick to your own. Sure, there's a chance that he might get it together and make it in the industry. But why do you have to sign up for that? If he's got this whole pie-in-the-sky dream, figure out if he's lying there looking at the stars or if he's got a jetpack strapped to his back and he's about to take off to go grab that dream. Question number 2. What are your long-term goals? Trust me on this. A man who really has a vision for where he wants to see himself in 10 years has looked into his future and seriously considered what it'll take for him to get there. It means he has foresight and he's plotting out the steps to his future. If he says something silly like, "I'm just trying to make it day by day," run. If his long-term plan is the same as his short-term plan, get out. Immediately. Because his answers tell you that he hasn't thought his life through, or he doesn't see you in it, and so he has no reason to divulge the details to you. All he's got for you is game. If he doesn't have a plan, why do you want him to stick around anyway? The man you should consider spending a little time on is the one who has a plan, a well-thought-out plan that you can see yourself in. Because please believe me when I tell you, and like I told you in an earlier chapter, a man always has a plan. I know I did when I first started working as a comedian. I knew before I even told my first joke in front of an audience that within the next 5 years, my goal was to become a headliner and make at least $2,500 a week. With my eye on that prize, I was soon making $2,500 a week, and happy about it, too. Still, I wanted to become a headliner, and I upped the ante. Now, I wanted to make $5,000 to $7,500 per week. It took me about 8 years, but I managed to meet my financial goal, and I was happy about that, too. And then I met Sinbad. Now, at the time, Sinbad was working at a comedy club in Birmingham, where he'd become so large, he was making $50,000 to $70,000 a week at this one particular club. Every 7 days. And I knew I wanted a piece of that action. His success made me realize that there was something to this comedy thing, that I needed to set in place a long-term plan that would afford me the kind of life I could see was possible for a comedian. I wanted to get on television, to provide a lifestyle for my family that would make them proud. I envisioned my life this way and then created a plan for how I was going to get it. Now, I knew it wasn't going to be easy, that it would take time, because there were very few comedy clubs where you could make that kind of money, and you had to have the right connections and a great team to help get you there. But the point is, I had a long-term plan with steps on how I was going to get there. Eventually, I reached those goals, and then some. Once you hear your potential mate's answer to questions number 1 and number 2, you'll have a firm understanding of the kind of man you're dealing with. Do not tie your life together with a human being who does not have a plan, because you'll find out that if he's not going anywhere sooner or later, you'll be stuck too. Question number 3. What are your views on relationships? Now, this one is a multiple-part question that sizes up how a man feels about a gamut of relationships, from how he feels about his parents and kids to his connection with God. Each answer will reveal a lot more about him, whether he's serious about commitment, the kind of household in which he was raised, what kind of father and husband he might be, whether he knows the Lord, all of that. And the only way you'll find out the answers to these questions is to ask. Do it before you kiss this man. Maybe even before you agree to go on a date with him. This is a great phone conversation for sure. And don't be shy or nervous about asking these questions either, because what are you supposed to be doing with this man if not talking to him? If he has a problem talking about this right here, then something's wrong. Run. First, find out how he feels about family. What are his views on it? Does he want a family? How does he feel about children? If you have a child, tell your man about him or her. It's his business to know. But more important, it's your business to find out if he sees himself being a father. If he doesn't want kids, and you do, then you can stop all of this right now. Please know that if a man says he doesn't want kids, he's probably not going to change his mind, regardless of the intensity of his feelings for you. Moreover, if he doesn't like kids and you already have them, where exactly is this relationship going? Next, ask him about his relationship with his mother. It's the first relationship a man has with a woman. And if he has a good track record with her, then chances are he knows how to treat a woman with respect and has some kind of idea of how to profess, provide, and protect not only a woman, but a potential family too. I don't know a boy living whose mother isn't beloved. We learn to protect her and provide for her. We learn about the basic core of love for a woman from her. Indeed, if a man is at odds with his mother, it's a safe bet that he's going to be at odds with you. If you hear any part of, "Man, me and my mother, we just don't get along," in his answer, erase his number and text from your phone and keep it moving. After you find out how he feels about his mother, ask him about his father. If he had a great relationship with his dad, then he was probably raised with a core set of values that he'll bring to your potential home together. Now, I understand that a whole host of men grew up without fathers in their households. But chances are that the man you're interested in had a male role model in his life who showed him the ropes of manhood, or perhaps the absence of his own father taught him a few things about what he doesn't want to do when he becomes a father. At any rate, ask questions about his relationship with his father, and his answers are bound to reveal the kind of father he just might turn out to be. You're also going to have to ask him about his relationship with God. Let me be direct. If you meet a man who doesn't have a relationship with God, he doesn't go to church, and has no intention of ever going, and he has no belief system he can point to as a guiding force in his life, then it's a problem. After all, what moral barometer does he answer to if not to God? What's going to make him even consider being loyal to you? What's going to make him do right by you and the kids? What's going to make him feel whole? I'm not saying that you shouldn't date a man who doesn't go to church or who has a different belief system than you, but if his core beliefs don't match up with yours, you're likely to have a problem. These next two questions should be asked after you've been talking and dating for a while. Ideally, ask them before you have parted with the cookie. Y'all know what I mean. If you have already had a sexual encounter with the man, you can ask these questions anyway. The answers may hurt a little bit more, but at least you'll know. Question number four. What do you think about me? Now, this one you'll have to ask after a few dates, because he's going to need time to get to know you. But his answer will be critical because it will reveal to you what his plans for you are. If you've been out on a couple of dates and you've had lots of conversation, you know something about him. But what's more important, you want to know what he is thinking about you. You have a right to know. Oh, trust me. He thought something about you when he first walked up to you, and you need to know what it is. He was attracted to something. He liked your hair, your eyes, your legs, your outfit. He didn't walk over there just to be walking. Beyond the initial attraction, however, men pretty much know if you're the kind of woman they're going to sleep with and keep it moving, or if they're going to stick around and see if they want more. This you will be able to tell by his answers. Listen to his answer closely. I assure you, this is how it will go, because every man will answer this question the same exact way. I think you're great. I think you'd make a great mom. You're fun, kind. You're really beautiful. You turn me on. You're an energetic, outgoing, a hard worker, very smart. I think you're the kind of woman I could see myself with. All that generic stuff we know you want to hear. Still, this isn't the answer you should be looking for. You want specifics. You want to know that he's really thought about you beyond the surface. So do the follow-ups. Oh, you think I'm kind? What about me makes you think I'm kind? Then sit back and listen. If he can't give you a concrete example of how you've shown your kindness, he's not really thinking about you beyond the surface. But if he says, you remember that time when it was my mom's birthday and you called me and reminded me to pick up a card for her? That was really nice. If he tells you he thinks you're a great mom, make him tell you what it is about you that makes you a great mom, and so forth with whatever characteristic he attributes to you. The level of his specifics will give you yet another clue into this man's intentions for your relationship. If he can give you specifics, it means he's been listening and adding it up. He's determining if he's going to keep you, if he can see himself in a committed relationship with you. And that could mean that you're at least on the same relationship page. Question 5. How do you feel about me? Now, this is not to be confused about what do you think about me. Think and feel are two wholly different things. And if a man cannot tell you how he feels about you after a month of dating, it's because he doesn't feel anything for you. He just wants something. Ask a man how he feels about you, and he's going to get confused and nervous. I told you before, I think you're... He begins. You cut him right off and say, no, I want to know how you feel about me. He might shift in his chair, scratch his head, light a cigar, anything to get out of giving you an answer or thinking of what he thinks you want him to say, but you'll have to get him to answer it. Don't get upset if he doesn't answer right away. He's got to go into that part of himself that he doesn't like to go to, and that's the emotional part. Men do not do emotion well, at all, and expressing it doesn't come easy. He can answer questions about God and the kids and his mother, but with this question, You're asking him to look into his soul. And our DNA isn't made up for the heartfelt outpouring to just anybody. But this doesn't mean you should let up. What you're looking for in his answer is something like this. When I don't see you, I miss talking to you. I always wonder what you're doing, and whenever you come around, I just feel better. You're the type of woman I've been trying to find. In other words, his answer has to make you feel wonderful. He may not be in love with you just yet, but he's crazy about you, and he's probably thinking he wants to explore a long-term commitment with you. Because when he starts to profess and put you in a position where he can provide for and protect you, he's seeing a future with you in it, and this is exactly where you want to be with this guy. The "I think you're cool" answer isn't going to cut it here, ladies. And if, after you've asked the question and probed deeper, you realize his feelings for you don't run very deep, that he's just not there, then you need to not be there too. Pump the brakes until you start hearing and feeling from him the things that you think are important to hear and feel from a man with whom you're willing to forge a relationship. We men are fully aware that we have to answer these questions, and any real man is going to answer them. You may not necessarily like the answers, but he's going to answer them. If he refuses, then don't bother with him. Don't think that you're going to work it out later, that you'll wait him out until he gets more comfortable with you, because that would be nothing more than blind hope. Before you know it, you'll be finding out the hard way that this isn't the guy for you. And you'll be starting all the conversations with your girlfriends like this. You know, I slept with him and he's not about anything. I don't even know if he likes kids. Don't let this happen. Empower yourself. It's your right to know all of these answers up front. Per my 90-day rule, which you'll discover in the next chapter, you need to ask these questions within the first few months of a courtship. If you're already in a relationship with someone, these questions are still valid if you don't know the answers. You can ask them for clarification, or you may need to ask them with the hope that they'll solidify what you may already know, either that you need to get out of your relationship or that you are headed in the right direction. His answers may help you cut your losses before you invest too many more years in a relationship that isn't going the way you want it to go. Or they may make you say, "Wow, I'm glad I'm with this man." Know, too, that though we'll answer the questions because we like talking about ourselves, our answers just may make us consider the woman who's asking the questions in a different light. We definitely want to know where our women stand on these issues, too, but we're not going to bring it up, especially if our intentions for you aren't pure. But in your conversations around these issues, your man just might learn something about you too. Something that makes him know he's got a pretty solid woman on his side. Say, for instance, he tells you that he wants to be an engineer, and he's going to night school to get his degree, and you tell him that you have a few friends who are engineers, and you can offer to introduce him to them so that they can give some helpful advice as he works toward his new career. When you offer that helping hand, he starts to think, "Wow, this woman is interested in my goals and ambitions. She's offering to help me out. Maybe she might be the one to get me to the next level." And he might just envision including you in those next level plans. See, you're getting information from him and plugging yourself into all these slots. Do I see myself in his short-term plans, his long-term plans, as a part of his family, having babies with him, helping him continue a solid relationship with his mom, being a role model dad for our kids, the whole picture? But it's a two-way street. Know that this guy you're quizzing is listening to these intelligent, inquisitive questions and calculating whether you're a woman who is his keeper or just a sports fish. Chapter 11, The 90-Day Rule, Getting the Respect You Deserve. 1977, it was a good year. I was living in Cleveland. I had a two-bedroom apartment, brand spanking new. I hadn't quite gotten the car I wanted, but I was working on it, and I had a job at the Ford Motor Plant. They had a high hourly wage there, and overtime. More money than a man of my stature could dream of making. But more important, Ford had benefits. Thing is, you had to be on the job for a while to get them. Oh, you could get a paycheck, but you could not get the benefits. And as far as any of the full-time regulars on the line were concerned, you were not in until you had the benefits. Ford's policy was that you had to work at least 90 days before they'd cover your health insurance. This was the plant management saying to me, "We will provide you benefits after you have proven to me you are worthy. Work hard, show up on time, follow your supervisor's orders, and get along with your coworkers for 90 days. And then you can get dental and medical coverage. You can get your eyes checked, no problem. Your hernia could bust, and we will take care of you. We will take care of your kids' teeth and eyes. And if you've got a woman, she can get glasses and crowns on her teeth if she needs them. And any more babies you have with your lady after this, we're going to take care of them, too. Your whole family will be covered. We are going to provide you with a benefit package." And you know something? All of this made perfect sense to me. I was being challenged to show everybody at the plant that I was serious and ready and able to work hard for both the salary and the right to have them pay my medical and dental expenses. And as a man, I needed and wanted to prove that I was up for the challenge and worthy of the reward. I agreed 100% with what the Ford Motor Company was saying to me, and so I signed on the dotted line. I wanted to be a part of the Ford family. The first day I got paid, the supervisor came through and said, "Here's your check. Appreciate you coming." The check was cool, but I wasn't making an appointment at the doctor's office anytime soon. If I got a toothache, hell, if both of my front teeth were loose and about to fall clean out of my mouth, there wouldn't be any dentist appointments for 90 days, because Ford had already said I had to prove myself to the people who signed the checks in order to get the extras, the perks. It was a really simple equation. Work hard, prove yourself, get the benefits. And guess what? It's the same way with jobs in the government, places like the post office, the DMV, and even in some corporations. You have got to prove yourself to get the good stuff, the extras, the benefits. So if Ford and the government won't give a man benefits until he's been on the job and proven himself, why, ladies, are you passing out benefits to men before they've proven themselves worthy? Come on now. You know what the benefits are. I'm not talking about being nice to him or cooking for him or going out to dinner with him or helping him pick out an outfit or bringing him around your mother. Those are things that happen during the course of a budding relationship. You do special things for each other because you care. By benefits, in case you haven't figured it out, I'm talking about sex. And if you're giving your benefits to a guy who's only been on the job for a week or two, you're making a grave mistake. You don't know this man. Not much about him anyway. He doesn't know you. He hasn't proven himself. And he could walk off the job at any time. And you'll have no one but yourself to blame. Think about it. The first guy you slept with quicker than 90 days, where is he? I'm willing to bet that you're probably not with him. True, there are some people out there somewhere who had sex early in the relationship and are still together to this very day. But that's rare. More likely than not, a guy who gets benefits early in a relationship without having to put in work or prove himself, leaves and moves on to a committed relationship with a woman who puts him through some type of probationary period to find out more about him. I'm sure that woman laid out the rules, the requirements, early on, and let her intended know that he could either rise up to those requirements or just move on. A directive like that signals to a man that you are not a plaything, someone to be used and discarded. It tells him that what you have, your benefits, are special, and that you need time to get to know him and his ways to decide if he deserves them. The man who is willing to put in the time and meet the requirements is the one you want to stick around, because that guy is making a conscious decision that he, too, has no interest in playing games and will do what it takes to not only stay on the job, but also get promoted and be the proud beneficiary of your benefits. And you, in the meantime, win the ultimate prize of maintaining your dignity and self-esteem and earning the respect of the man who recognized that you were worth the wait. Of course, you've got to use your 90 days wisely. A probationary period means nothing if you're not putting this guy through the paces. During that 90-day period, you should be checking him out. Does he come when he says he's going to come? Does he call when he's going to be late? Does he like and care about your friends? And if you have them, your children? Does he express his joy at being in your presence? Most important, is this really a man with whom you can see yourself in a committed relationship? Or do you see signs that make your God-given intuition kick in? You know how it goes. You haven't been invited over to his house. You only have the cell phone number. He won't answer his phone when you're in the room, or he takes hush calls in the corner where you can't hear what's being said. He tells you he's dating other women, or somehow you just know he is. These are tendencies you can't possibly see in a man you've dated for less than 90 days, because guess what? The guy who is dating you just to get the benefits up front is going to be on his best behavior in the beginning, specifically so he can make you think he's worthy. But just as sure as time is going to come and go, he'll eventually show his true nature. Give it at least 90 days, and you can smoke all of that out of him so that you can be sure that this guy is the right man for you. After all, it's your right to want what you want and to actually get it. Put yourself first. Ask the 5 questions, as mentioned in the previous chapter. Withhold the benefits and demand the respect. If you have a high level of respect for yourself, you're automatically going to command that respect from a man. Make him qualify for the benefits, and I guarantee you'll have a better man on your hands and in your bed. And once you're satisfied he's worthy of the benefits, you can pass it out like sandwiches at a picnic. Hold on. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that if he doesn't get sex from you, he'll go and get it somewhere else. And you will have lost out on that one chance to get him to be your man. Or he'll think you're playing games if you make him wait. And he'll move on to the next woman who's willing to take him into her bed. Wrong. In fact, one of those mind tricks we've been playing on women since the beginning of time is to convince you all that waiting doesn't matter. That giving it up early and quick is the way to go. Listen to me. If we could convince you that you should strip naked and get to it within the first 5 minutes of our first meeting, we would. This is not a secret. Men love and want sex and will try, within reason, to get it by any means necessary. But guess what? He can wait. Yes, of course you run the risk of scaring him off. But isn't the guy who sleeps with you without any obligation to you or consideration of your wants, needs, and emotional well-being the one you want to go away? Isn't reserving something that's special for a man who earns it more of a benefit to you? You have the power to make him wait, to prove to you that he deserves your love and affection, the power. Just think of it this way. When it comes to having sex with a woman, we men don't decide a thing. We don't determine when we're going to sleep with you. That decision is yours. The decision of when we get to kiss you is yours. When we let go of each other's hug and embrace, that decision is yours. We put our hands somewhere on your body other than your shoulder, and you decide if we can keep touching that place or if we gotta let it go. Our job is to convince you to give it to us, to allow us to touch it, let us have it. But the decision on whether we actually get to have it is Y-O-U-R-S, yours. Don't give up that power. Keep it. You only give up that power when the man has earned it, and he is going to respect it and do something with it. That's the truth. Women have crumbled empires with that power. Cleopatra helped destroy Rome. Read your Bible. We're still in a jam right now because of Eve. Women have always had that kind of power, and you do too, including making the man you're dating wait for the benefits. Oh, I'm not saying you can't pay the man. Payment comes along the way during that 90-day probationary period. You can hug, kiss, talk on the phone, go for a walk in the park, have an ice cream cone together, go out for dinner. Your time is a form of payment. When we're out to dinner with you, You can't imagine how we feel when we're looking forward to meeting you, and you show up with your lip gloss shining, your eyes seductively made up, and your hair, whether it's blown out in a weave or natural, is lovely, and your body gleaming. I cannot tell you the fulfillment we have in knowing that we've secured your time. And to be seen in public with you is a bonus. It's all the affirmation we need. The payment is incredible. Hugging? Payment. Kissing? Payment. You get dressed up? Payment. Going out with us? Payment. Exchanging explicit emails? Payment. But if he wants to sleep with you, make babies, and have a family, those are benefits. So he's got 90 days on the job to prove himself worthy. 90 days in which you can figure this man out. You're an investigator. Can't nobody find stuff out like a woman. Y'all put the police to shame. Make the little investigative tricks they show on CSI and Law & Order SVU look like counting lessons on Sesame Street. You know how to find stuff out about a man he may not have even known about himself. So get to it. Create some scenarios so you can figure out just who this guy is and whether he's good enough for your benefits. Here are a few things you might want to find out. How does he react when you tell him you've got some problems? Maybe your car broke down or the water heater is about to give its last breath. Or your kids are acting up and you can't get a handle on them. You're exhausted and the stress is showing on your face. He can hear it in your voice. If he asks you, "What's the matter?" that's a good start. He's been around you long enough to know when you're not your normal self. That's progress. But now, if you answer him with, "My car broke down and I don't have the money to fix it right now, so I'm just a little worried about how I'm going to get to work tomorrow," and he says, "Okay, well, call me when you figure it out," you can scratch him off the benefits list. Be clear. You're not asking him for money to get the car fixed. You're just trying to see if he's going to probe deeper and find out if there's anything he can do to help, whether it's to give you some advice on how to fix the problem or step in to help you fix it. Did he offer to get up an hour earlier so he could drive you to work while your car's in the shop? Or give you the number to a guy who can fix your car for a deep discount? Did he offer to get up under the hood and take a look himself? Or tell you about his friend who owns a car shop and might be willing to do a favor for him and you? Real men extend themselves to women they care about. If you have a problem and your man does not extend himself, he doesn't try to make it better, this is not a good candidate for benefits. Now that other man, the one who will scoot on the ground on his back with the toolbox and come back out hours later with car grease all over his shirt and hands and face from trying to fix your raggedy car, that's the one who might deserve a cold beer and, later on, some benefits. How does your man react under pressure? Let's say an ex of yours is starting to call again, and it's making you uncomfortable because the breakup was particularly nasty and you just don't want to go down that road with him again. You tell the new guy you're bothered by this and are not sure how to make the ex just go away. A benefits-worthy man will immediately launch into fix-it mode. He will see what he can do to A, stop the guy from calling, and B, get you to feel safe again. He might tell you something like, "Next time he calls, let me talk to him." Well, that's a little extreme, but there are some men who will get on the line and let the last ex know to mind his place. Or your new man may give you suggestions for how to deal with the unwanted phone calls. He might tell you to block his number or put a special ring on the phone so you know who it is when the phone rings. Maybe even give you a few words to say to this guy to make him stop calling. This is a pressure situation. It doesn't require an action, but a reaction. If the new guy says something like, "I just can't get into all this," then he's not a good candidate for benefits. You're going to be in pressure situations in your relationship time and time again. And you should know up front, right now, if this guy is ready to handle it. If he goes into protect or fix-it mode, then he envisions you as his woman. And he just might be worth the benefits. How does he react to bad news? Say you lose a loved one, someone really close to you, a man who has plans for you, will immediately offer some form of comfort and help so that you can take the time to grieve. He may ask you if he can take your kids out for a couple of hours so you can have some time to yourself. Or he might ask you if he can go with you to the funeral home to be with you while you see about the funeral arrangements and so that he can express his condolences to your family. Note, ladies, he's probably not going to want to sit there and let you retrace your childhood and reminisce about the first time your deceased loved one pushed you on the swing. That's not about to happen. It's not what men do. But a real man will respond with some kind of solution. He will do what he can to help you stop crying, because no man wants to see his woman crying. If this man is not comforting, if he's not coming up with some solutions to help you feel better, then he needs to be fired. He has no rights to the benefits. A man who is worthy of the benefits will be there for you no matter what bad circumstances come along. If you lose your job or fall behind on some payments because you had a huge and unexpected financial situation to deal with, he'll recognize your need for help and rise to the occasion, whether it's giving you a little extra cash to make the minimum payment on your bills, stopping by with a few bags of groceries, or filling your gas tank. How does he react when he's told no? Let's just get right to the crux of this whole chapter. When a man asks for sex and he is told no, his reaction to that no will tell you everything you need to know about him. If the phone calls cease or become infrequent, the flowers stop coming, the dating slows down, please understand that this man was just in it for the sex. If he says something stupid such as, "I don't need to wait for sex, I can get it from anybody," you tell him right back, "Please do." This cuts the riffraff away right away. But if your saying no doesn't deter him, and he continues to try to get to know you better and prove to you that he's worthy of your benefits, then he's really, truly interested in you. Don't get me wrong. He's still interested in the sex, but he's also interested in knowing how you feel and what time frame you're working on. Then the relationship becomes about what you want, what your needs are, and that's what you're after, right? It's that simple. Now, I realize that 90 days sounds like a lot of time, and you kind of need to be real creative to keep his attention on you and your new relationship. So I came up with a list of things you can do with your man to help you and him stay focused on the relationship. Number one, go on dates that help you find out each other's interests. If he's into photography, hit up a photography exhibit at the local museum. If you're into cooking, take a cooking class together. Two, host a barbecue at your house and invite him to meet your friends and family. A good guy should be comfortable meeting the people you love. Three, go to church together. Know that he's interested. Four, sign up for a sexy Latin dance class so you can learn some new moves. It'll show you if he's trying new things, and you can tell if the man has, rhythm. Five, go out for a picnic in the park with the kids. See if he's comfortable with them. Six, find out each other's favorite artists and attend a concert together. Seven, release your inner kid and spend an evening playing games at an arcade. Eight, have a few firsts together. Go horseback riding together, or hit up a batting cage, or fall all over each other at the ice skating rink. 9. Volunteer together. Help out at a local soup kitchen, or read books to kids at a local foster home. You can tell a lot about a man who's willing to help others. 10. Rent a convertible and get lost cruising in your city. You'll have plenty of time to talk on a long drive. 11. Find a quiet place where you can watch the sunset together. 12. Play a board game. 13. Go for a long walk under a starlit sky. 14. Send each other naughty emails so he can be sure that when he does get it, it's going to be good. And you can make sure he's literate while you're at it. 15. Read a passage out of each other's favorite books. 16. Have a movie night in which you both bring your favorite DVDs. 17. Go to a record store and listen to each other's favorite artists. 18. Challenge each other to do something silly, like build a sandcastle at the beach or a game of jacks or marbles. 19. Hit up a comedy show. You can learn a lot about a person by what they find funny and what they think is offensive. Chapter 12. If he's meeting the kids after you decide he's the one, it's too late. Let's get one thing straight. When a man approaches you, he doesn't see anything except what's in front of him. How you're fitting into your jeans. What the shape of your leg looks like in those heels. How your lips look with that lip gloss shining. How beautiful your eyes are with all those colors around them. We don't care if you use MAC or Bobbi Brown, Maybelline or L'Oreal. We don't care anything about where you live, who you used to be with, what kind of car you're driving, how much money you're making and spending, or even who you're spending it on. And we especially don't consider whether you have kids and what that would mean if we were in a relationship with you. In fact, if we're about game and our game goes right, we never make it to the kids. We figure we're going to have dinner a couple of times, maybe catch a movie or go bowling, and be in a room with a bed frame and a mattress in it in a matter of days if our game is proper, or a few weeks if you're playing hard to get. Kids, please. Some men don't care any which way about your kids. The guy you're trying to hook up with won't be any more interested in your life as a mother than what color toenail polish you'll ask for at your next pedicure appointment. In fact, if a guy is in it for one thing, if he's a game runner, looking for nothing more than your cookie, then the plan is to never meet the kids. And once he gets what he was looking for, oh, you can believe he'll be plotting how to move on. What's most likely to happen is you'll follow the time-honored single mom tradition of dating a guy, all the while keeping him as far away from your home life as possible, partly because you want to get clarity on the relationship and the direction in which it's moving, partly because you don't want to introduce your kids to any man unless you're absolutely 100% sure that he's in it for the long haul. Once you've convinced yourself there's long-term potential with the guy in question, then you invite him home to meet the kids. Stop right there. I'm here to tell you that you're going about this all the way wrong. You can't become emotionally attached to this man and make some kind of verbal or especially physical commitment to him, and then finally drag him to the house only to find out he doesn't like your kids, and your kids don't like him. You've gone and got this guy all hot and bothered, thinking you're some sexy vixen who's fun and interesting and wild and willing and able to swing from chandeliers. And once you walk into your living room, he's tripping over Tonka trucks and mashing crayons into the carpet while your kids are begging for potato chips, crying loudly and telling you the baby's diaper needs changing. This is not a good situation, ladies. Not a good situation at all. In fact, the introduction is late. Much too late. See, a man needs to be able to see what all he's going to be responsible for up front. If he sees you in the role as a mother, he's going to immediately try to figure out if he sees himself in the role as a father. He's going to evaluate if he can afford those children, if he wants to be bothered with the drama that comes when a baby's daddy is likely lurking in the background, whether he can handle any animosity that might come his way when the kids get wind of him, and finally, if he wants to play second fiddle to the children, whose needs you surely will meet many moons before his. All of these things, and then some, will be taken into account. And if you hold back key information, he needs to assess his potential life together with you and pop it on him when he's not expecting it, he's not going to receive the information well, plain and simple. In fact, he's likely to think he was duped. Duped into thinking he had one woman when clearly he's involved with someone who comes with a whole different set of obligations, responsibilities, and potential requirements. Note, telling him you have kids is not good enough. Besides that, the longer you hold off introducing him to the kids, the more he's going to think there's something wrong with him, that you're hiding the kids for a reason. And that will only make him more apprehensive about that initial meeting. In his mind, you will have elevated the get-together to the level of a G8 summit, giving the introduction way more power than it needs or deserves. He's meeting the kids, for goodness sake. They're not sitting down to a state dinner at the White House. So to avoid all of this, you need to get the kids in the game early. A natural, casual introduction early in the relationship will set all of you up for a much healthier connection. He should be sitting across the room, or at the park, or at the ice cream parlor with those kids right around the time you start developing emotional feelings for this guy beyond, "I'm attracted to him." If you're starting to wonder whether this guy is right for you, then you might as well see if he's right for the kids. Let him see you and them in your natural setting, in a mother-child capacity. He should see you feeding oatmeal and fruits to the toddler, and braiding the 7-year-old's hair, and folding the 10-year-old's laundry, and cheering the 15-year-old on during football practice. He'll be looking at all of these things to determine what kind of mother you are, and whether he'd like to have you be the mother of his children. This is hugely important, ladies, because we men recognize that some women aren't cut out to be mothers, that there's no automatic mothering gene that kicks in for women just because she has the equipment to carry and birth babies. Just as some women can't drive, just as some women can't do math, just as some women can't cook, some women aren't good at mothering. And a guy wants to see that the potential mother of his children is at least decent at it, that she can be kind, compassionate, creative, and stern. He wants to see that you can handle matters without unraveling, that the stress that comes with marriage and family is something you can handle with decent skill. Because the one thing we men do know is that marriage and family equals stress. So we're looking to see if you can handle having to make dinner for the kids while helping one with the homework, tending to the other who's had the flu for a week, helping one get on the internet and kicking the other off the internet's inappropriate sites, all at the same time, without strangling anybody. Most important, you should introduce the kids to the man you're dating so that you can see him in a fatherly capacity. Walk him into your house. Introduce him to little Taylor and Brianna, and then sit back and observe. You will get the purest and truest reaction from him when you do this. If he actually knows something about kids and likes them, he'll be able to start and hold a conversation with a 6-year-old. The biggest test of someone's children's skills is whether they can talk to kids in a way that will keep them engaged and elicit a response. If he freezes up and acts like he's on the witness stand, he just can't think of anything to say or ask, then chances are his intense reaction is a sign he's just not all that good with children. Similarly, if he's completely defenseless against the powers of the wicked little kids who are liked by no one but their mother, then that's a potential problem, too. The guy who can't hold his own in those situations, who can't use humor or compassion or square his shoulders in a take-charge way to deflect any attempt by the kids to do damage or harm to him, may have some issues, too. After all, you want your potential man to be able to be, well, a man around your kids. Someone who can take charge when the kids act like fools and they need a man to set them straight. Kids, after all, respect authority. All of this, of course, will tell you a lot about this guy, about the kind of father he'd be. If he's comfortable with the kids, can entertain as well as give them advice, and give you solid advice on how to troubleshoot, too, then he's showing you the traits of a potentially good father figure for your child. Likewise, when he sees you with your children, nurturing them, feeding them, and keeping all of their needs satisfied, you're showing him not only that you're a good mother to your own children, but that you're potential mother material for any children he already has and any babies you two might make together. Sure, how your kids feel about this guy should count for something, too. Children have an uncanny ability to pick up on when human beings mean them well or harm. If they're younger, they have no ulterior motives about not liking someone, especially if you introduce him as my friend, Mr. So-and-so, just like you would any female friend of yours. But note, too, that if your child's father is in your kid's life, your child may not necessarily have the most warm and fuzzy feelings about the new guy. And that's natural. In these cases, your child isn't exactly going to make it easy for the new man to get close quickly. But this isn't necessarily going to scare a man off. First off, how would a grown man look being scared off by a child? If he runs, let him. Or the new guy might raise an eyebrow, too, if he keeps running into problems with little Chucky. If on the first date, Chucky forgoes a handshake for a swift kick to the shin, and on the second date, the little monster purposely rides his bicycle up the side of the new man's ride, and on the third date, he accidentally spills his fruit punch all over your man's nice white linen suit. But if you're worth it, he's gonna stick it out and see if Chucky is truly insane or if he simply keeps catching him on his bad days. He'll try harder to win Chucky over and give the relationship more time to assess whether Chucky is bearable. And teenagers, oh, men don't even see them as a problem. No man walks into a situation thinking they're going to be best friends with a teenager in the house. Even their biological parents can't stand teenagers, and vice versa sometimes. So the odds are low that the new man is going to have a kumbaya moment with a sulking, hulking, attitudinal older child. The beauty of teenagers, though, is that they tend to make themselves invisible. As a result, your new man might actually be able to focus on your relationship without the distraction of a misbehaving kid. But a man who genuinely wants to be in your life will try to be a part of your teenager's life. He won't be deterred. He's expecting that a teenager will be a jerk to him. What he'll try to determine is whether the jerkiness is an act to be mean or if that's truly who this kid is. Now, we all understand your need as a mother to protect the emotions of your children and your reluctance to let them get attached to someone you can't guarantee won't disappear and take your kids' hearts with him. Likewise, we understand how important it is for you to not look like you're fast and loose, running men all through the house like your living room is a bus stop. We also know this violates every single rule you've had hammered into your head about such introductions. But my goodness, I'm not talking about bringing everybody to the house. I'm talking about the guy that you think might be serious about you. And don't worry about whether he's going to think you're trying to trap him or you're just looking for some sucker to take up where your kid's daddy failed. Single moms all over the planet have convinced themselves, with their natural instincts as nurturers and protectors in full gear, that bringing men that they've just met around the kids is unsafe. But ladies, here's a secret. That's exactly what the players who wrote the rule book you've been following want you to believe. Women live under that fear because the men intent on playing the game tricked you into thinking this way. As long as you believe it, we get to keep the game alive until we get what we want without any obligations. If you really want a good man in your life, if you've asked God to give you a family, you've got to stop all this foolishness and introduce this man to your kids so you can figure him out. The sincere men among us know that women with kids are a package deal, and we'll understand that you are a mother with obligations to your kids first, especially if you lay that out up front. Tell us straight up. I'm not just looking for a mate for myself. I'm trying to form a union with a man who will be willing to be the head of this family. You know what a declaration such as that is? That, sweetheart, is a requirement. You've told him, in a nice, not so subtle, but sweet way, that the only way a man is going to be a part of your life is if he agrees to be a part of your children's lives, too. A real man is going to be okay with that because you've told him that if he's going to be a part of your life, you and the kids are a package deal, and that he will get dismissed quickly if you feel like he's not right for or good to the kids. With that information, with your requirements so clearly laid out, he's going to either run for the hills or try to figure out how to make this thing work. Go ahead. Invite him to come with you and the kids to the zoo, or invite him over to your mom's house for a family barbecue. See what he says, what he does. If he says, nah, I ain't going over there, I gotta watch Monday Night Football, and it's Saturday, then guess what? He's probably not the one for you. Usually, how a relationship starts is a good sign of how it's gonna end up. And if a man starts out not interested in your family, What makes you think that after you sleep with him, he's going to suddenly develop an affection for your family? But if he brings a game of Scrabble or Monopoly over to the house and sits down on the floor and plays for an hour, or he invites you and your family to join him on an outing, then he just might be a keeper. For those of you who are thinking strictly from a safety standpoint, please know that I am not telling you to bring a man you hardly know into your house and leave him sitting there with your kids unsupervised. Of course, when someone you're just getting to know is in your home near your kids, you're going to sit there the whole time, watching. What's he going to do? Touch your daughter on the thigh while you're sitting on the couch right next to her? Or put your son in a chokehold at the dinner table? Be realistic. No man is going to walk in your house and abuse anyone with you sitting nearby. And if you're that concerned about bringing a man into your house, you can always go to a public place, somewhere where plenty of people will be able to eyeball what's going on and give a detailed accounting to the authorities if he steps out of line and you have to chop him in the neck. For those of you who are dating men with children, don't expect him to introduce the kids early, necessarily, because wherever his child is, most likely his child's mother isn't too far away. And the last thing he needs or wants is for his kid to run back to his ex, talking about the nice lady daddy had over to the house. Next thing you know, his ex is laying down the new custody terms, which do not include having her baby around any strange woman she has not previously run a background check on and authorized, especially if that woman is trying to lay up in her ex's house. So a man with children from a previous relationship recognizes he needs to ration out the female encounters with his kids if he wants to try to keep a modicum of peace with his ex and actually see his kids again. If you're not somebody he's trying to have around for any amount of time, he's not going to waste his girl encounter ration on you. Knowing that you're not worth the grief he's going to suffer when his children go back and tell their mommy he had a woman in the house, he's decided in his mind you're not worth it. If he asks you to meet the kids, thereby using one of his girl encounter rations, be sure of this. He's decided you're worth the pain he'll have to suffer when the ex hears about it. How will he let you know which category you fit in? If after, say, your fifth date, he's still telling you, by the way, we have to go out on Sunday because this Saturday is my time with the kids and it's the only time I have with them, so then he doesn't want you around them. He's telling you you're not worth the potential headache. But if he says something like, I got the kids this Saturday, how about we go to the beach or the park? Then he's thinking he can figure out how to deal with the ex later. Right now, he wants nothing more than to be with you and the kids. Want to smoke out whether he's got good father potential or not? The following list isn't foolproof, but it will certainly give you some food for thought about the things you should be taking into account as you consider whether this man is right for your kids, or if you should take the kids and run in the other direction. You know he'll make a good father if... Number one. He tells you he likes kids and actually would like to have one someday. 2. He expresses interest in meeting your children. 3. He shows up to the house with gifts for the kids. Of course, if he brings an Xbox for Mikey and disappears for a few hours, then that might be a problem. 4. He lets the children see that he sincerely respects and likes and even loves their mother. 5. He makes a kid-friendly date with you and invites your children along. 6. He takes you and the kids to church. 7. He has a good job and a solid work history. 8. He's kind to his mother and checks in with her often, but mama's boys need not apply. 9. His nieces and nephews spend considerable time with him. 10. He has younger siblings he helped care for when he was younger, and they made it through unscathed. 11. He has a pet, and it actually gets fed and taken care of. 12. He keeps his house clean and knows how to cook a few decent meals. 13. He's financially prepared to care for you and your children, or he has the desire to. 14. He can and is willing to comfort your child when she hurts herself. If he starts hyperventilating at the sight of blood, this might be a situation, especially if he's already told you he's a doctor. 15. He doesn't faint at the sight of diapers. 16. He can get down and dirty with your children, squirting them with a water hose, shooting hoops at the park,